What up, everybody, and welcome to the happiest podcast on earth. I am your host this lovely, lovely day for another great, fun, fantastic episode.
It's so weird sitting next
No,
to
it's
you.
weird. It is weird.
It's strange.
You know what? I'm not gonna say that because I feel like every time I host an episode, we're gonna be doing things a little different. Because I always say that.
No, we're doing them now. We're doing them.
No, we it's it's This is interesting. I am
This is
physically joined today
this is a little different, actually. Yeah,
by Mr. Hunter Hazen
it's good to be here in the kitchen. Hey.
and Mr. Nick Foster.
Hola.
Yeah, we are live from Andrew's apartment.
Have we ever recorded an episode like in the flesh together? I don't think so. I
We
think a
have
few
not.
people have.
I've done it with Corey.
Yeah. This is fun.
Yeah.
I just feel strange.
Yeah.
We've had a really fun Disney weekend. We've been at the parks a lot, been to a couple parties. Obviously, that's one of the things that we're talking about today, but
Controversy.
yeah, it'll be interesting. We have a lot to unpack for sure, but yeah.
Yep.
So these are two special episodes, probably midweek drops of a review for Mickey's Very Merry, which will be a separate episode. And on this one, we're going to get into Jollywood Nights. I feel like I'm noticing something right now. We are all struggling looking at the screen. We don't have to look at the screen
No,
right now.
we don't. We can look at each
We can
other.
just
Yeah.
talk to each
We can look at each other. We don't have to smile at the screen
Yeah.
anymore.
We're so
Nope.
used to staring at a screen while
Screen
we're
and just like
recording.
looking at each
It
other.
feels normal to
I want to look
see
at Andrew through the screen right now, but he's visually.
sitting right next
Yeah,
to
I
me.
really am.
Looking at that side profile. What's up? Anyways.
Oh, Lord.
So Jollywood Nights, the first ever Jollywood
It
Nights
happened.
we all went together to.
We have differing opinions.
Yeah, we'll get into them. But so do we want to go over like the basics of Jollywood Nights, like what it is, what we're doing? We'll start with that.
Yeah.
Jollywood Nights is a special ticketed event at Disney's Hollywood Studios, celebrates the holidays. I wouldn't even say that it celebrates specifically Christmas. I think it celebrates the holidays at large. And this is a new event. Disney's put a lot of effort into this. They've put a lot of thought into this. And we had no clue what to expect with this event. Ticket prices vary, I think, between $159 and $179,
That's correct.
depending on the dates. They do offer annual pass holder discounts of like 10 bucks on some of the dates.
No discounted tickets for children.
Correct.
Same adult price for everybody.
Yeah, they definitely marketed this event more to be like for adults than for the kiddos. And so,
DVC and annual pass, $10 off,
correct.
if that's a huge savings.
I just said
You did? Okay. My bad. I
that.
was reading.
But yeah, so we were leaving for the party, and or, I don't, you can't even really call it a party, I guess, but we were leaving for the event, and all of us were just like, we have no clue what to expect with this.
And I
Like,
got anxious about it. I feel
yeah.
like it was like a mythical, like it was about to be either the greatest things of our lives or not the worst Not, not,
experience, but
not.
like,
It was either going to be really good or just
bleh.
meh.
Right. I
Yeah.
think one of the first things that gave anybody anxiety, it was Hunter, because Hunter had no idea what he was going to wear to this event.
Well, we were midweek going to the parks and we
Which,
were actually at Very Merry.
okay, he's going to say that he didn't know about this, but I communicated to Hunter
I probably forgot, and I did
that
forget.
people were going to be dressing for this event. And that is from Disney. Like on the Disney website, they do encourage people to dress in sort of their like Hollywood best. It's supposed to be like,
Step into a shimmering holiday scene with dapper
there
decor.
you go. It's very reminiscent of like the outfits that I was seeing last night. If you guys have ever gone to the parks for a dapper day, that is the vibe.
Yeah.
It was very like, and people went all out with their outfits last night, and that was fun to see. I really think that people put a lot of creativity in their outfits, and if that is something that you're passionate about doing, I think like that's a win for you with this event
But
out of the
also
gate.
totally optional. I had a nice time in shorts.
Correct. Yeah, you do not have to go decked out. And I think that was one of Hunter's concerns, was that because he did not plan in advance for that, he felt like he was going to be like,
I had to wear a flannel that wasn't mine. I was,
yeah, he felt like he was going to be like super awkward and uncomfortable. But
and they turned
there
me
was
away at the
definitely
door.
no,
Like a dress code
ooh,
violation.
sir,
No,
get
we
out.
can't have that here.
No, I think there's definitely a mix of people. I think you had people that probably had been in the park all day that were just staying for the
There
event.
were.
Yeah, so you can go how you want to go.
and you're fine. Like, feel comfortable and own that.
You know what my biggest issue was with all that? And we talked about it last night, but you couldn't tell who worked at Disney and who was just there as a guest.
Right. Yeah.
Because they had a bunch of managers Disney, running around.
Yeah, the costuming, or I guess managers don't have costumes. No, they're all just nice clothes. Yes,
and right. So they were all decked out. And then
it's almost like they needed a special color lanyard or something.
Yeah,
I think
well they had their name tags on.
Yeah, but those are hard to see.
But I think that also was just specific to last night's event. I don't know that as many managers will be around in the day.
No.
Pretty much all of Disney management, it felt like, was at that event.
Yeah, it was the first night. So they were wanting to see how things were going. And it's interesting, just based on watching the marketing like strategy from Disney for this event. They have been very intentional about marketing this event heavily and really have not done a whole lot with Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, which we'll talk about in another episode, but they are pushing this event hardcore. Yeah. And they were wanting to capture a lot of content on this event last night. They hosted several people. DJ Khaled was at the event last night recording content for Disney to push this event.
Mickey, so. Minnie's. Runaway, Railway, or whatever it is.
Got to see some funny stories from people like watching him record his content. But excuse me. But yeah, so that was all leading up to the event. We weren't sure what to expect. We weren't sure what to wear. But hopefully that answers some of you guys' questions. And like, if you're trying to decide what you're supposed to wear, what not to wear, there's your answer. It doesn't really matter. Go.
Doesn't matter.
What makes you comfortable, what makes you happy, and have fun with it.
Bring an umbrella.
Yeah, it did. It did start to rain on us, but
started pouring.
But yeah, so, and then getting to the park, there was a line. Okay, this got a little confusing, if I'm being honest, because it's marketed as you're not able to enter the park with your ticket for the event until 7 p.m. The park closes at 8. The event starts at 8:30. We all had access to the park before 7 p.m.
We got there like 6.
So we got there at 6:15.
Yeah.
And walked in from like the regular gates. They were lining people up on the other side waiting to let them in to check in for the event. As soon as we got in, we started walking around, and then eventually Andrew went over and asked a cast member like, where exactly were we supposed to go? That was actually the second cast member that we asked about where we were supposed to go.
The first one was a guest relations lady, or it may have been VIP.
Yeah.
But just walking by, and Nick goes, hi, like, is there a way for us to, like, are they doing distribution for the party stuff or for the event stuff tonight?
The wristbands, yeah.
And she's like, yeah, it's out front. And as she keeps walking, like, doesn't even,
That was interesting for sure. But it was, again, I don't know that everybody had full communication on what was going on at all times. And it makes sense. It's a new event. But yeah, so finally we did find someone who pointed us in the right direction, and they sent us over to the Mickey Shorts Theater. If you guys don't know where that is, it's kind of across from where Indiana Jones is. It's right next to the Frozen Theater. Around the corner from where Olaf meets. In fact, we queued in the area where
the Drew Carey show used to be. Yeah.
Yeah, it's where sounds dangerous.
Dangerous, baby.
So we went over there, and we're super grateful that we went there as soon as we got into the park around 6.
Oh my gosh.
Because we waited probably like 20 minutes, I would say.
It snaked a little bit, and we were still out front of the theater, like for when we entered the queue. And then later on, as it got closer to 7, 8 o'clock, that line got all the way from there, which just basically imagine Indiana Jones all the way to the entrance of Galaxy's Edge is how that line went. And that was people's first experience of getting into the park and then getting their credentials too.
Right. So, and what we're talking about is when you check in for the event, sort of like if you would check in for Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, you're given your wristband. And then they gave everyone complimentary credentials. So
and code,
it's like coasters.
Yeah, we got them right
for
here.
Those who are like watching the video. I know not
if we post this as watching, a video, yeah, it'd be fun.
There's like a lanyard that they gave us, and honestly, like it's not anything super crazy. It just says Jollywood Nights on it. It has a QR code
for the map information, pretty much
the digital event guide. Yeah, so
mine got a little waterlogged, so it's kind of warped. Yeah, now like wow. You see how soft it got. It's like peeling and everything. Like it got waterlogged because of how bad it started raining.
So that was interesting. I mean, a lot of people were seeing everybody wear these lanyards and they were thinking that like these people were media or that there was some sort of like distinguishing factor in who got a lanyard and who didn't. There was not.
I wonder if that was just going to be for like the first night.
I think it
because we also got
a wristband.
We also got wristbands,
and everybody only asked to see the wristband. Nobody asked to see the lanyard.
I think it ties in with the theme of the evening, where we are guests at Hollywood Studios and we are VIP and we're important people at this glamorous like event in the evening. I think it was like a theming piece for them. Like okay. They were like,
interesting.
Welcome VIP guests to this, you know, special hour or 4 hours.
Yeah.
By the way, but the event I said starts at 8:30, it runs till 12:30. That's another basic info for you.
Sure. But yeah. But the gist of that is lanyards not required. So if correct. You know you're wanting to dress up and the lanyard's gonna be a bummer.
But I like wearing a lanyard. It does make me feel important.
There you go.
Anyway.
But yeah, only 4 hours, so really short. Right. If you're an AP or a cast member or just have park tickets, definitely suggest getting in early, getting your credentials as early as you can from Mickey's Theater, just so you don't spend time waiting in that line close to 8:30 and you end up missing out because nothing starts. Nothing is going on. There's no like, okay, this meet and greet is starting 45 minutes before 8:30 to like get it going. And it's only open to credentialed people. Like nothing is going.
It's
a hard stop. No food, no anything.
Which honestly was, I got annoyed about that because I am not the most patient human being on the planet.
Yeah.
And I didn't like just standing there because we got our stuff a little before 7 and it was like, okay, so now what? Because you couldn't get like on a wait list for something, but there really wasn't time to do anything else. So we went and got in line for
Holidays in Hollywood show.
Yes. And but then we found out about the Brown Derby needed to be close to the Brown Derby to sign up for the walk-up list. It is not a virtual queue, so you have to be near it.
Yeah.
And
so
let's talk full Brown Derby.
Yeah, well, so just a little specific info too on that. So we got in line probably around 7:45 to wait for the show. The show's start time, I think, was 8:45.
Yep.
And that's really all that you can do.
No, 8:30 for...
No, 8:45.
8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30. It's every...
No, that's backwards.
Are you sure?
Yeah, no, you're looking at the what's this.
No.
Wait, yeah, no, that's backwards.
Yeah.
So on the website, it actually does have the times backwards because...
Well, that's not...
Sorry, well, okay.
I don't have my guide
map. It was definitely at 8:45 because I have a photo of the show times. So okay.
Yeah.
Holidays in Hollywood was scheduled to
8:45, 9:45, 10.
Right.
So that's 15 minutes after the event even starts.
Right. So really, the only thing that you can do when you enter into the... park early is wait in a line for something. Now, I will say, as part of typical holiday celebrations at Hollywood Studios, they have the projections going on Tower of Terror, and they do have Snope going, which was a big concern for a lot of Disney fans that Snope was specifically going to be reserved now for this event, because a lot of fans of Disney parks, including myself, love Snope during the holiday season, and you can only get that at Magic Kingdom during Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. So for the last few years, we have really enjoyed going to Hollywood Studios to watch the snowfall on Sunset Boulevard. And the projections on...
Which were all going before the party started.
Which was... That's confirmed true. That is still a part of like regular park operations, which is good to know. That's exciting for people who, you know, were concerned about that.
Well, it should be.
For sure. Yeah, I was going to be bummed if they took that away. Like they took Jingle Bam away, yeah. Which was usually just a part of regular park.
It was, and we'll get into that. I'm just not even going to go on my tangent about the stuff that you used to get just in
right.
Can you imagine Osborne lights? I guarantee you now that would be specially ticketed
for sure. But may it rest in peace. So we were in this line, and I got word that so we thought it was going to be a virtual queue to get into Hollywood Brown Derby.
But first off, full expectations. My full expectations were it was a lounge.
Yeah, where it's so like we got the vibe cleared. That it was going to be like a speakeasy sort of thing,
like an in and out. Like think Oga's, like
right,
yeah,
Oga's right. Like limited entry in and out,
right?
Or even like dessert parties or stuff like that, where you go into like when they did them at Launch Bay, you go in and they're just roaming.
And to be honest, I don't know where we got that information from. I guess probably it's just something that we built into our minds, and then
hang on,
lot of people probably thought that that's what it was going.
So it says the beloved Hollywood Brown Derby will transform into a jazz joint with holiday tunes and decor. You'll be able to sip cocktails, enjoy light bites while you enjoy music. You can request a spot throughout, blah, 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 blah.
It sounds,
so it never that, says that, it, but it,
but
it,
that reads like it's going to be
all
like
they have to put is it's a table service.
Right.
Which is what it is.
Well, it says it's transformed into a jazz joint. Yeah. We get the vibe that things are just going to look very different in the Brown Derby for this event.
And it did not transform.
Well, so what we did was we found out that at 11:15, you had to be close to the restaurant.
8:15.
I'm sorry. Yeah. 8:15. You had to be close to the restaurant.
Proximity. Yeah.
In order to join within the My Disney Experience app. So this is the easiest way to do this. I'm thankful for our friends actually over at the Lost Bros who helped us help me with this when I walked up. You search Hollywood Brown Derby in the app, pull up the restaurant, and then as soon as 8:15 hits, almost like you're going to book a virtual queue, you're going to select a join walk-up list and immediately book a reservation for your party. And so I left the guys in line who were in line for the show and like booked it over to Brown Derby because I think I left them in line at 8:12. I had 3 minutes to get over to Brown Derby. I was hauling for sure, but got there and then was able to join the walk-up list. It said I had a 10-minute wait, which is a curveball. So you have to plan your evening now around how long that wait is going to be for you and then decide what you're going to do in the meantime. We had anticipated watching the show at 8:45. Mm-hmm. So we had to make a decision what we were going to do. We decided that we would just wait for the text saying our table was ready and see if we could actually watch the show. As soon, like literally the second we sat down to watch the show, when we got seated, we got the text saying that our table was ready, which was nice. It was a very quick turnaround. And a lot of people did not have that same experience.
No.
So
I mean, there was a good, 200 people sitting out there.
Oh, there. And even when I walked
over, everyone was just on their phone.
Yeah, it was like an attraction virtual.
When I
it was
like, cheer, I got it.
No, truly, when I booked the walk-up list, everyone was cheering. It felt like the old days of like Rise of the Resistance. Everyone was cheering, like everyone was on their phones and they were super excited. So there was a lot of energy in trying to get into Brown Derby for this event. So we get in. I had never been into Brown Derby before. This was my first time ever being in the restaurant. So I didn't know what it looked like beforehand, but as soon as we walked in with our friends, they were like,
this is the same thing. Nothing has
changed here. Mm-mm. And really nothing.
I would be interested to see like from now on, if they take even like the Christmas wreaths and stuff out, like, or are they keeping those up?
I'd imagine that they're going to leave those up and just maybe not utilize.
They're really,
I don't understand what's even different.
So there was
one
garland.
Strand of garland.
There was one strand of garland up where the piano guy was. But also it says with holiday tunes, we heard Hakuna Matata, Cruella DeVille.
There was a set list because we heard the songs a few times.
Yeah.
And the set list included, I think, one Christmas song. Like,
yeah,
it was one holiday song. And mind you, there was literally one strand of garland in there. And now listen, I understand that it is really hard to flip a park with all of this added stuff that they're adding in 30 minutes. The park closes at 8 p.m. for regular day guests, and then the party starts at 8:30. So I get that. But I just expected so much more from Brown Derby in terms of like ambiance and setting. I think that like a jazz joint to me would have been like darker. Like all the lights were.
I didn't mind the lighting in there. I don't think that.
I don't know. I just thought all the tables and chairs would have just been removed.
Yeah.
And it would be
like a little dance
high tops with like literally like cocktail bars set up in the corners of the restaurant where you walk up, order, and it's that kind of vibe.
It was
more like dance hall, more like Atlantic dance hall.
Yeah. I mean,
definitely.
Much, yeah.
I've never been in there before. Fun fact.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, just a bar open.
Yeah.
Can it be a temporary bar like in the back room where we were sitting or something? But. Yeah, I was not expecting just table service with a menu that had unique things, but even the unique things weren't like majorly Christmassy.
No,
they were good. It was very Pan Asian style, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I think it was such a vast.
They had like bao buns.
It was such a vast difference in things, and I think some of these things are traditional holiday type foods. Like, I know that it varies in some of the different places that you're from, but
we were able to try the Derby sliders, which were my personal favorite. The crispy duck drumettes and the pork belly bao. You had that.
I did. I liked the pork belly bao a lot, but it's $12 for two of them, and they're just little bao buns.
I will say this, for what it is, I do think that was reasonably priced.
I think
based
so too.
On Disney stuff. Sure, the most expensive light fare is $15. And when you think about, you go to Food and Wine, and
the biggest difference here is that you're sitting at a table restaurant, so you have to add
too much.
It takes
time.
A lot of time, and you're adding tip at the end of it. Yeah. And because it's a table restaurant, sometimes people would assume that you get your discounts with that. They told us that they do not offer discounts at Brown Derby during this event.
Oh, wow.
So I asked them if my AP discount would work, and the waiter said no, which is fine, understandable.
Yeah,
they're trying to turn tables over quickly in there, and it's a special ticket.
And cocktails, not really any. Like they were normal.
There was one cocktail that actually even had a Christmas name, and that was the Hollywood Lights.
Yeah, I had a non-alcoholic cocktail, and it was actually really tasty.
He had the spicy pineapple margarita, and it was good. I
really enjoyed it. It was really tasty. But again, it threw us off because we were in Brown Derby for a total of 1 hour. By the time we left there, it was almost 9:30. And we weren't expecting that. We weren't expecting to take a whole hour in there. And also, in total I had the bao buns and the non-alcoholic margarita, and it was $25. And so I think in my mind too, I was like, okay, I wasn't expecting to eat one bao bun. It comes with two bao buns, but Hunter and I shared. But I wasn't expecting to just eat that and then walk out the door and be down $25 for the evening.
So in an hour of your 4 hour party duration, which is important to mention, you're not in and out of Brown Derby at all. You're sitting down. It took a good amount of time. Nick, you ordered your non-alcoholic cocktail pretty much as soon as we sat down and got water.
Right.
And then we ordered after, and yours even took a long time to get out. So we were sitting there okay, this is going to be a minute. From the time our food hit the table, we asked for the check. I mean, it was probably half the time, obviously, of waiting on our food.
And granted, this is the first night too. So obviously things are going to run a little slower on the first night. People are getting used to things. But yeah, I don't know. It wasn't how we anticipated starting our evening.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we would have chosen that going back. Now, if you're going to this event and you're looking for a very chill evening and you want table service and you want to just relax and kind of stroll around, you're not worried about getting food from all of the quick service stands, I don't think it's a bad idea for you. It's what you want out of your evening for sure.
Yeah.
But for us who wanted to experience as much as we could within the 4 hours, it threw us off for sure.
And with obviously the stands themselves kind of rolling through Brown Derby and through onto the next one, the stands themselves were packed.
Right. Also, they had long lines.
So I mean, you're waiting 15 minutes probably for each food item that you wanted to try at each location.
Right. And if you're not wanting to stand in a long line, you want to sit down and have table service, then it might not be a bad idea for you.
Yeah. They also didn't have mobile order for anything, did they?
No
mobile order.
No, everything was
walk up.
Because that really helped at the Christmas party.
Yeah, we mobile ordered all over the place at the Christmas party.
For sure, yeah. That's something that they have set up for those. But these stands at the, they are at regular restaurants.
Pizza Rizzo.
ABC Conference.
That you can mobile order from.
Yeah, so that's interesting. We'll see. Maybe they'll make that adjustment in the future.
Yeah.
But that we can't confirm that at this point. So,
But food overall, quality-wise.
So
Brown Derby, I was happy with it.
Yeah.
On the other stuff, I think I had the... Buffalo spring rolls.
They were good.
The meatball from Pizza Rizzo was delicious.
That was the best item. And I will say too, Pizza Rizzo, I walked into, there was literally no line. I walked right up to the counter. I ordered the meatball. I walked up to the counter and the meatball was ready within, I was in and out the door within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, and there was a lot of other Italian options at Pizza Rizzo as well. They're specific for the event.
But the meatball may be the underrated option where
I love
if
it.
You're towards the middle of the park, people are waiting 20, 30 minutes for something that may be pretty basic versus since it's so far out of the way, it's the meatball may be a go-to for
it's a giant people. Meatball with creamy
I mean, it really is about polenta. What like that big
yeah
it's shareable
it's oh for sure well, the three of us split it and
like, it was six
it was 50? A lot of meatball even for three splitting it three ways
and it was $6.50 so that was a win of the evening for us was the meatball but
meatball
but
I liked my beer margarita
the food margarita. Yeah the food like overall I got to, we got to try some of the food from the food that's being sold at ABC Commissary, it's all
the
like
holiday very, fiesta in La Calle.
Yeah, it's
ABC
very
Commissary.
Latin flavored, Latin inspired food. I had the yuca and I had it came with chicharron. And then we had the birria tacos, or it's one taco, but I wasn't big on the taco, but I have heard people say that they loved it. I liked it. I mean, we don't have to go into this too much, but
I thought it was a pretty basic taco when I tried it too.
Yeah.
It was...
But being Cuban American and having a whole section that just celebrates Latin culture was really meaningful and impactful to me. And
cool
I liked
the band.
They had two different bands like that would rotate on.
I only saw the one.
Okay. Yeah. They flipped back and forth and they both were incredible. I thought the vibes were great. It kind of felt like walking down like a side street in Miami, eating some food and having a good time.
They did have cool decor, like
it looked
the
really
lights.
Good.
They
yeah.
had they had like little string lights going across the top of
that. Would be another thing that I would say for me personally is a win for the event. I honestly could have spent most of my time in that area and been happy.
It was a lot less crowded.
There were moments where it was very crowded, but then moments where
I didn't think it was very
later,
crowded
yeah,
at all.
Later
yeah.
in the evening, I mean,
yeah.
I would probably suggest hitting one of the entertainment shows first. As your first thing, I mean,
we were in Brown Derby
for an hour, so we don't know what it was like. But
yeah,
I feel like that first hour is where people are majorly congregating at that fiesta, at the Twilight Soiree, like in those areas. But then as the night goes on, people disperse to shows.
We didn't really wait that long for the Twilight Soiree, but
we had 15 minutes. But the line started at where the band was performing. The line also got all the way back to Sunset Boulevard, which if you're thinking about it relatively, that might have been a 45 minute line for sure.
I wish they would have extended out the commissary stuff more over past baseline, because then you could sit and have your drink and then like watch, because you could hear the music from baseline.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you've been to Baseline Tap House, it's got this big little outdoor seating
patio.
And then
so you could listen.
You could listen, but it'd be nice to actually be able to see, because it was hard because you had the baseline music playing, and then 20 yards away, they had like that band. So I think it'd have been cool if you would move them over
more. Yeah. I wonder if the thought process there is like keeping them condensed to commissary for theming purposes.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think it was cool. It was a nice touch. I loved it. That was another win for the night for me.
They should have had somebody over by Pizza Rizzo singing like Frank Sinatra.
I thought maybe like some sort of
that area was dead.
Some sort of Muppets.
Yeah.
Basically everything from Pizza Rizzo and the entrance to Muppets Land all the way around to the market next to Pixar Place was completely dead. There was absolutely no change.
Not
Galaxy's
much.
Edge and Pixar Place, which was kind of a shame, because I mean, if you think about Magic Kingdom, which we'll do a review of Very Merry also, like there's something everywhere.
Right.
So I think they underutilized large portions of the parks, and with it being the first night, people weren't going to those areas.
Right.
They were trying to do everything that was new, which basically cut the size of the park in half.
Right. Which helps with crowd like dispersion. Like, I don't think that
if you spread everything out,
yeah,
had everything
had
pretty
like
close
a 5
together.
Minute wait.
Right. And I think, which is another thing to note, the wait times for the attractions all night were very low. Now, granted, you have to remember that the first night of an event, there's a lot of bloggers, there's a lot of influencers there, like ourselves. And we go because we want to gather as much content that we can so that we can do these things
of
and
everything that's
information.
Unique. Yeah.
But because we go to the parks often, I know like Hunter does not get to go to the parks often, but Hunter's experienced Hollywood Studios and knew that we were there, you know, to grab content. Like attractions were not on the priority list of a lot of those people.
No, but like, did you even Did you go into Edge or Toy Story Land at
No,
all?
we
No.
didn't.
Okay, so
Ghost Town?
no, I didn't. No, I'm telling you, there was nobody, which it's so funny. And we had thought, or I had thought about this, that you almost tied your hands up with kind of expecting people might want to ride some rides.
Right.
And I say, I'm gonna disagree with you. I don't think it was just because it's last night. I think that entire thing is
Yeah.
going to be, I
Well,
think that's
nobody
the,
has a reason to go over there.
well, you don't. And
Yeah.
so you
I
don't have
don't.
any overlays or anything like that. And so it was a ghost town, and it was really funny that Rise still had a virtual queue.
Right.
I don't
Yeah.
think you need a virtual queue over
No.
there,
No.
like at
And
all.
that's another thing to note
You
is
don't even use
at
it during the day.
yeah, at 8:15, you're also able to hop on the My Disney Experience app and get a virtual queue for Rise of the Resistance if you want to ride it that night. But I do think that they could have drawn. I also heard that Ogre's was like walk-in, like nobody was going to
I didn't
Ogre's
even think
either.
about ogres.
Which
Ogres
could have had a sweet Life Day overlay.
yeah,
Like,
there could have been definitely additions to Batuu and to Toy Story Land that would have drawn people into those areas. Even like
that does
a
get tricky over there, though, because you have to, Lucasfilm has to approve everything.
well, and even like in Toy Story Land, like why not have Woody and Buzz in like holiday? They have holiday gear that they wear. Why not have them back there doing a meet and greet?
I think because they wanted it to seem like, oh, here's a, you can't meet these during the day, and like that you during normal
Right,
operating hours you
right,
can. But that doesn't make sense because Chip and Dale
right.
were meeting in Rescue Rangers up
Edna Mode,
until,
right,
yeah, Edna's in the
and
day.
Frozone. And
I
I asked.
forgot that they were even over there.
Well, we
It,
went to the. We
the
just walked
characters
back
were
and.
terrible. Like, I'm just gonna say, characters were terrible.
Yeah.
You had Phineas and Ferb, which is the only one that you can't
Unique.
normally
And
see.
there were people quoting a wait time for Phineas and Ferb last night at 2 hours. And that is
That's insane.
so bizarre to me because 2 hours is half of your party
And they
time.
were meeting right in front of Indiana Jones. Like it wasn't.
Right.
That's a tough 2 hour wait. Like
Yeah.
the line was just wrapping around the pond at that
Yeah.
point.
So, yeah. So, and this takes us obviously further into the conversation of entertainment. But as far as characters go, now over in Animation Courtyard, Mickey and pals were in their like new holiday gear,
Yeah.
and it's fun. It's
Mickey,
different.
Minnie, Donald, Daisy, Goofy, Pluto. Yeah.
Right. And so their costumes are different, and that's not something that we typically see or we've seen before. So I think that that was pretty cool. And we walked over there at one point. I think it was around 11 o'clock, and the lines were not very long at that point. They
Yeah.
also have two studios over there that they open up for the event, and they're like glam bots almost.
Well, one, yeah, one was the glam bot, and the other was kind of just like a photo op.
Almost like a boomerang type photo, but
Yeah.
they're both cool. I think those are fun like additions. It feels a little awkward. We all went in front of the glam bot and we're like, what do we do
We're
about
gonna
him?
post it.
I don't know about that. I watched it, not a fan.
You watched it? I want to see it.
It's
I do
embarrassing.
not.
Was it wasn't good? A little
I
awkward.
do not need to see it.
We'll see. It'll go on Patreon. We'll throw it
We'll
up.
see. We'll see. We'll see. I have rights and ownership to that, so we'll see if it's ever
Oh, it's false. It is
disclosed.
my image.
I'm paid for my photo
I'll
pass.
blur your face out.
No, it was fun. I think that that's a fun, cool little creative thing that they did though. And at that point it had started
Well,
raining,
that was
so
a.
it was a good time for us to go inside
Yeah,
and
that was like one. I appreciated the unique touch.
yeah,
Like, okay, here's
not something
something
that you
outside
get.
of the box,
Yeah,
and it's not
you don't
just.
get that at Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. You don't get that like anywhere else.
It's
And
unique
especially
and it's
because
small, but it's unique, which is neat.
People are dressing so nicely for this event, it's a fun, cool opportunity to again have your
I,
lanyard
yeah.
and your dressy outfit and go like basically walk the red carpet
They
and
kind
have.
of themed, I don't think they themed it totally like the red carpet. They kind of did. They
I
had the
think they did.
backdrop, but
Yeah.
yeah, I think they could have maybe even leaned more into the red carpet and
Right.
gotten like stanchions with the velvet rope and kind of like actually
Yeah.
like themed it up a little
Right.
bit more. They
Yeah.
had taped lines on the floor that
Yeah.
you're supposed to follow for the queue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think they could have glammed it up a little bit and made it
Sure.
like, oh,
Different.
you're here's the railing, here's the
Yeah.
backdrop, maybe some artificial photography, flash
It
photography going on.
would be cool.
Yeah,
Yeah. Good touches.
because even the entertainment wise, which we can maybe start talking a little bit of entertainment, like the Christmas show was themed as like a production, which you said was like old
That
MGM
reminded me of
Studios.
like, and
It
it gave really big MGM Studios vibes, and I really like that.
broke the
So,
fourth wall of okay, it this did. Is a production and y'all are a live studio audience, yes. Which was a nice, unique
topic. But it was also one of those things that was kind of funny because you had no idea that that's what it was when you first went in. So yeah. There's one part where they're like, thank you so much for being part of our live studio audience. And everyone's like, oh, that's what we're doing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like they could have had like Beauty and the Beast has like the cold open guy warming everybody up or something like that. They could have had an MC or someone like, welcome yeah. to our production of this. It's Christmas Eve. We're looking forward like to Indiana this great Jones thing. Yeah, it's like it's Christmas Eve. We have this great production put together for you all, and kind of really pumped up the crowd yeah. in a way that would have given it another level.
You of should have been a show director.
I mean, I can be a show director. My ideas are brilliant.
Okay.
What was that? What was that water park you wanted to put in Bay Lake?
Extremely humble.
I don't remember. ideas come, ideas go. All holidays, right, some stick, some don't.
And the show we're referring to is Holidays in Hollywood that we referred to earlier
at the Theater of the Stars.
And so, but this show also, just quick notes on that. You've seen, I'm sure, videos on social media at this point, but this is the show that has Kermit and Miss Piggy. It has Tiana, it has Belle and Mickey and Minnie. One thing I really liked about this show, I thought that Mickey and Minnie had really cool choreographed like
they routines, did
and they that they did. Like owned it, like yeah, you don't see Mickey and Minnie dancing like that often.
Oh, they were no. dancing
and
yeah,
they
were dancing hard, yeah.
And truly like choreographed, like those, shout out to that Mickey and Minnie, because they just
shout really out to did. Mickey and Minnie in general. They didn't know I didn't know Mickey and Minnie had those moves.
Yeah, they did a great job. I was proud of them.
They did do good.
Yeah. So yeah, that was just one quick note from the show. But that show, I would say, and this is where we'll start talking about the other show. There are two shows available in the evening.
Yeah.
That show, personally, if I had to choose between that and the other, I would choose the Holidays in Hollywood. I feel like Andrew maybe.
No, I would.
Okay.
No, I would.
But
the
other show.
That was obviously their more.
That was the big one.
Which, before right. we move on to the next one, I just want to throw it out there. Miss Piggy and Kermit's voice was a little strange for me.
Miss Piggy was fine. Kermit was
off.
Yeah.
It was off. Which I don't know if it's recorded or if no, that was a live. No, that's, that was a live yeah. deal.
Okay. I'm on the record as not being like the biggest Muppet stan anyway, so it didn't
do I thought they did a really good job. I actually like when the Muppets do more of the hosting type of stuff. And like it yeah. was weird because it wasn't your standard Disney where Mickey and Minnie are like
Mickey and Minnie were the secondary characters.
They were. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think Tiana stole the show there, though.
For sure. Tiana she was cool. phenomenal. And honestly, Belle's voice was fantastic
Belle
as well.
Belle was okay.
Yeah.
Belle was okay.
Both of the, like, there was a lot of talent in that show, for sure.
I do wish I would have known more about it going into it, because I was almost ready to skip it, because I did want to see the other one.
Right. I was excited about this show, but I always love a moment when like a bunch of Disney characters are together in one place. So,
well, yeah, a bunch.
With it an felt asterisk. Like a show that would be on
four.
If you, well, I mean, that's still pretty good.
Or I guess six: Mickey, yeah. Minnie, Kermit, Miss Piggy, and Belle and Tiana.
Yeah, but they're all different, which is cool. Yeah. It reminded me of a show too. If you've ever been on a Disney cruise line before and you've gone to see one of the shows in the
evening, very well choreographed.
That's what it reminded me. Yeah. It's very good, like Broadway style yeah. show. So.
Live band.
That was the
I did.
That was an interesting touch.
Yeah. That was the second show that we saw. The first show that we saw was the night. I don't remember.
What's
the
this?
Yeah. What's this?
Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas sing along.
Yeah. And that's at the Hyperion Theater. So the Hyperion Theater, for those who don't know, is the theater where the Frozen sing along takes place.
Woot woot.
And it's very much a Frozen sing along overlay. Like yeah, they true. Follow the format pretty true. Much.
I mean, it's different in terms of like,
The live action, yeah. the live actors the host, are silent,
the hosts and then, are miming,
yeah, which was actually very creative.
I thought that was cool because it really shows the choreography and it doesn't take yeah. away from the actual sing along stuff, so it's not just sitting there like super haha funny.
Yeah. I thought it was creative. I thought there was some depth to it, which I think works well for adult. Like, I think my boys would have sat there and been like, what in the world is going on right now?
I loved it. I thought it was now, really cool.
Another thing for this is that if you are a fan of The Nightmare Before Christmas,
which I am not.
Really?
I was saying that all night. It's like, yeah. I'm not the biggest Nightmare Before Christmas fan, but I love The Nightmare Before Christmas in the parks.
Okay.
I think every time you bring The Nightmare Before Christmas into the parks, it's always a hit.
Oh,
every single, you look at Jack and Sally. No, I think the idea of Nightmare Before Christmas I like more than the actual, like, I don't really care for the movie.
Right.
But I love when Jack hosts the fireworks at Halloween.
Yeah.
Which Jack was also in this What's This?
Yeah. Live and in the sing along.
Yeah.
Screen, which
yeah.
was interesting. They brought out the
puppet. That they used for the fireworks.
It was very imposing, and it was one of those applause moments.
It was really
cool. It opened up, people were like, "Oh yeah, let's go!" And I was but it honestly started the show off, and I was like, okay,
right,
here we go. What are we gonna have next? But then the rest of the show,
it was creepy at first, though. Like, they did a really good job of making
it made you uneasy. He came in and did like an introduction to a Tim Burton story of like,
and there was these two people just like,
here's my rhyme. Here's, I thought they were dead.
Yeah, that's what I did. I
was about to be like the undead or something, and that was weird. But they were just,
you know what it reminded me of? If you and they were miming, so but it looked almost a lot like some of the Academy of Villains stuff that they used to have mm-hmm. at Halloween Horror Nights, which I don't think
experienced.
Okay, so it did. It was very much Academy of Villains-esque without dancing, and it was more blocking, like that kind of stuff. But I really, really did like it a lot. I thought the music was fun with it. They did a really good job with what decorations they had.
I thought the theater setup looked really cool.
Yeah. And especially knowing that they can't keep that.
Right.
So like, that's very much, we take it down, we put it back up.
Every night or every night they do it. Yeah.
I thought it looked beautiful. I thought it was creative. There was Snope, so that's always a win in my mind, but I'm not the biggest Nightmare Before Christmas fan. And so the songs don't really mean much to me. And so I didn't connect with it as much as I wanted to, I guess. But I do think for people who love Nightmare Before Christmas, which based on Jack and Sally's wait times at the Christmas party and the Halloween parties, most people love Jack and Sally. Most people love Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I think that people who actually like are huge fans of that film would love this show.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like Frozen. People who love Frozen enjoy the sing-along for Frozen.
Yeah, it's not a full-fledged, full-production, all live-action sing-along with all your favorite characters. It's Jack and Oogie Boogie are the two that you get to see.
Right.
And then you have three screen sing-alongs that are, is it direct footage from the movie?
I'm assuming,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not
not new. All of it.
Yeah, it's not all of it? It's Frozen. It's Frozen Ever After.
Yeah.
But in the form of Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Not Frozen Ever After, but the Frozen sing-along in the form of Nightmare Before Christmas. So,
yeah, for sure.
Again, like, there are four different show times offered for both shows. So I think that, like, you can definitely get both shows in on your evening.
And I was never worried that we couldn't.
Yeah, but you can, I think, comfortably. Like, we left Brown Derby at 9:23, I think,
and
walked over to the show and sat down right before it started
and got into
the 9:30 show. So
I guess that theater's bigger than I think it is.
Yeah, we arrived late for both shows and we got in.
And we were towards the back, and I don't think that inhibited our experience in watching the show.
I mean, if you want a big shock, sit front left for a big surprise.
Or even right, because somebody else might show up. So
you're joking.
You've probably seen spoilers. I mean, I put it on my Instagram.
Well, I just said, was that my bad?
Oh, I don't know.
Was that a spoiler? Spoilers.
We won't say anything else about that. But anyway, so those are the shows. Those are the two shows that happen. We've talked about like the entertainment in terms of characters. We talked about how there's performers on Commissary Lane with like the Latin vibes. There's a performer outside in the courtyard of Tower of Terror. So basically the courtyard they're referring to is like when you exit Tower of Terror, when you exit that gift shop and there's like a Joffrey stand right across from you, that's the little courtyard area, which honestly is not a very big courtyard area. And I remember reading some sort of statement saying like, dance the night away with, you know, your partner listening to live music. And I'm like,
I don't
think there's much space there to do anything.
And it's the exit of, I know also the attraction wasn't busy, but it's the exit path for
Tower. And there's
a bar. So there's the entrance, the exit, and the bar. So there's movement of people from in and out of all three directions. And I think it was just a roadblock.
Yeah. Very chaotic.
The band was good. The singer was good.
For sure.
I've heard bad stories of people waiting an awfully long time at that bar for a drink, which we got the Twilight Daiquiri, which is like a rum, coconut rum punch, all pre-mixed drinks again, but that was good. You got the fifth dimension, which was
yes,
a little dry, a little tart, a little more aggressive.
Yeah,
in my mind,
yeah,
it wasn't my preference, but again, pretty mixed drink. So
also, here's a side note: if you are someone who does not drink, don't wait in any of these lines because you're going to feel like you're wasting your time. I obviously don't drink, and so, but I was there to hang out with Andrew and
Hunter. Overall, it's the experience of. What do you want from that experience, right? I mean, you're going to have people.
I'm going to be honest.
It's worth it. It's not worth it. But like, if you don't drink, then don't wait in lines and try to do all the entertainment.
But I got
to
be honest. If you don't really drink and you're not like a big foodie, I don't know if the event's worth it.
There's not a lot. I mean, we'll get into whether it's worth it in general or not in a couple of minutes. Because even if you are those things, I don't know. We'll talk about it. But was there anything else that we have not covered?
I mean, jingle bell, jingle bam, but
it started raining,
yeah,
which was unfortunate, but it's also just the same jingle bell, jingle bam.
Right.
And
added like lasers.
Well, yeah, but there's not like,
to be honest, fireworks by that
the highway, or there's nothing different.
By that point, we were totally drained.
Yeah.
And it was pouring. And it was raining so much that like opening your eyes and looking up to watch these fireworks was not a pleasant experience. Like it was just like getting into my eyeballs.
It wasn't spitting.
No, it was just, it was not fun. We were just done. We were ready to go. So we left. And I've seen the show. I like Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, but it was just not worth it at that point. There was one thing that I did not get to do that I will forever regret.
Gertie.
The thing that I was probably most excited about when they made announcements was the Gertie cookie. And I never got the dang Gertie.
We made this mistake. We looked across Bay Lake or Echo Lake.
Yeah.
And we went, oh, that line's too long. We did that throughout the night.
In hindsight, I saw other videos of the lines that wrapped around Echo Lake. And I think that the line that I thought was for the Gertie cookie was actually for Phineas and Ferb.
Who are meeting adjacent to...
Right next to Gertie.
Gertie, which don't be discouraged if you want the Gertie cookie and you see a massive line. It's probably not for that. It might be for
maybe,
that.
Yeah.
It's also a popular.
We never went over there.
So we did not try the Gertie cookie. So Nick's going to go back, of course. I'll try the Gertie cookie. Exclusively. Walk in, Gertie cookie.
And I'm done.
Walk out.
No, and that's where we can get into whether it's worth it or not. So I do have a ticket. So Francie was supposed to join me last night. She wasn't able to. And so I was able to move her date. And pay the difference for the ticket that we're supposed to go to now. I now have to make a decision if this is something that I want to go back to. And honestly, that should speak in and of itself for like what I thought of the event.
No.
Because would I ever have to question whether or not I wanted to go back to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party? Absolutely not. Like I would go to that. If there was a frequent pass for the Christmas party that I could purchase, I would buy that in a heartbeat because I would watch Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade.
You can redo Very Merry Christmas a lot, I feel like, and get different experiences. Whereas this one, the offerings are much more limited. Two shows, one nighttime show that's recycled, and for two bands playing, and then exclusive food and beverage options.
And for people who can frequent Hollywood Studios, I can ride those attractions whenever I want to ride those attractions. And so there's not a draw for me. Like short wait times is not a draw for me in those scenarios. I did read somewhere like someone wished that it was marketed as like an after hours event with added extra entertainment. And I think that would make more sense. Like I think if it was marketed as an after hours event, and honestly, if they threw in
something free,
they threw in the dang ice cream bars and something. Sodas, like that would make this event so much more worth it. What's wild to me is that this event costs more than a ticket to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
Which, did this get cheaper, by the way?
And there is...
Because the 20... I'm just looking. So November 27th, Jollywood, $159. November 28th, $179 for Very Merry. So it's $20 cheaper on the 20th to 21st. So I don't
Christmas
know.
Party tickets will continue to rise as we get closer to Christmas. What we're not seeing is a huge, like... variation in Jollywood Nights tickets. But even still, like you're talking what, $30-$40 difference between the two?
Yeah. I mean it's not a comparable event to Very Merry.
No, I still think if Very Merry's $40 more than Jollywood Nights, like that is a bang for your buck in terms of, like, if you're putting it side by side. Like, Jollywood Nights to me is definitely overpriced. It's a 4-hour event, and I don't know. I just,
it's a $150 Festival of the Holidays with two shows.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
like, and honestly, I'd rather do Festival of the Holidays.
You're paying your entrance into the park to like
go spend more
money on food and drinks. And then, which again, welcome to Disney World.
But when you go to the Christmas party, like, okay, you got like the little treat trail
right.
stuff.
I'm getting I'm getting cookies. I can get eggnog. I can get cider.
I know is such a small thing.
No, but it's something.
Yes. And like at the end of the night, these little coasters that we got, like that's not.
Yeah, they gave us little coasters that are like, they're like wooden coasters that say.
Yeah, it's all IKEA wooden ones.
23 on it. But we got ornaments at Mickey's Merry Christmas Party.
And
you know,
cookies.
And yeah, and I don't know. And I made the comment to someone last night about that. And they said, well, you know, think about how long Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party has been going for. And this is the first night of a new event.
But it's also Disney, which that seems like an excuse to some.
Right. I'm like, sorry, but I trust
you
Disney
can't,
to
you
be
can't
able to
roll out a half-baked event.
No, I trust them to be able to put on a great event. And I would not say that Jollywood Nights is a great event. I can't bring myself to say that. I think that, like, you get what you like.
I think they wanted Oogie Boogie Bash and they got
Disney
Villain Night. No, but I'm saying, and they got like Villains Night.
Yeah. I think, that's
like
that
Magic
a,
Kingdom.
That's a like good comparison between the two. Like the quality of the event.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that they can definitely add more to Jollywood Nights. Obviously, like this season where it's like too late in the game. Like at this point, I think Jollywood Nights without it is what it is. Maybe some minor adjustments that they can make. But as far as like entertainment goes, like it is what it is.
You're not going to add entertainment. But I mean, it would have benefited, again, like Brown Derby being a social venue of like walk around, you can meet with people. My thoughts obviously go towards like Galactic Star Cruiser and the environment that was like. You're walking into the Sublight Lounge and you can meet and talk to people, and it's a environment that transports you to the Jazz Lounge of the 20s or something like that. I think that was a missed opportunity. I mean, just looking around, there's a lot of different things that could have been done if they were maybe thought out a little bit.
So what, and here's a question for you guys, in order to make that a more successful event, what are like two things that you would change about it?
I would close the park earlier, because I mean they closed Magic Kingdom early for Very Merry. Like it's not, well, we can't close it because it's Hollywood Studios. It's like if you can close Magic Kingdom that early, you can close Hollywood Studios that early.
Right.
And do that, and I feel like that would alleviate a lot of the stress that people may have to do a lot. I also think it's short because Disney may know it's like we don't have a lot. So if we made it as long as Very Merry, people would be bored and leave early.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because I feel like they artificially created this time of like only 4 hours because we have two shows. This, it can be done in 3.5.
Right.
And that's just enough time. Again, Brown Derby and just really just more service. Like it's the service stations for the food, like obviously ABC Commissary and stuff like that was fully staffed. But then you have like the Twilight Tip Top Lounge is not even comparable to a Food and Wine stand in terms of staffing.
Okay.
Like there's very little people.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me more of the Iridescent Evenings they did for cast members.
Okay. I didn't obviously get to go to one of
them. That's, but like, that's really what it reminded me of was more, but even the Iridescent Evenings, you got free stuff. That's the other thing. I would definitely, you need ride overlays.
Oh yes.
Because that's a cheap fix, especially with like
Oga's Cantina should have DJ Rex playing Life Day hits. Like
I think you can definitely do some stuff there.
Red and green lights in Oga's. Yeah. Like
so I think you need more entertainment as a whole.
An exclusive entertainment. Someone that like if you come to Jollywood, you'll see someone that you never will see at Very Merry.
Like have
you'll
like Lottie. See, like have like Lottie there.
You'll never see somewhere else.
Put Chewie in a Life Day robe.
Put Chewie and his family out there.
Yeah.
His whole family.
In a Life Day
robe. Little guy.
With the little orbs.
And they're just free roaming Galaxy's Edge.
Well, yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really, I just, I feel like there could be so much more with it. And I do think it's a little overpriced for what you're getting.
It's definitely overpriced for what you're getting.
Yeah. I hate that. Hollywood Studios is one of my favorite parks, and it makes me sad because I was bummed leaving last night. Like, I was just like, this is not what I thought this was going to be.
You felt short on time. You felt short on the content of the party. It's not like, oh, I had plenty of time, but I ran out of stuff to do.
Yeah, and granted, our experience obviously was different. We were there on the first night. Yeah. And things can go wrong on the first night of anything. So hopefully a lot of the things that were wild will be fixed. Like adding a second location for check-in for you to get your wristband and credential or lanyard. I think that would alleviate that long line that people
would ever buy Lightning McQueen,
or do one back in Batuu or in Toy Story Land, like where you're pulling people to the back of the park. So I mean, if you think about where you check in when you go to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, you can check in upon entry, but in the park you can check in over at Phil Our Magic. I think you can check in over at like
Tortuga Tavern.
Adventureland. And then you can also check in over near Monsters, Inc. in Tomorrowland. So you have three check-in locations. Granted,
that's more efficient to get people going on their night. Because I'm sure people were waiting at that check-in after 8:30 going like,
I would have been so frustrated if that would have been us.
Yeah.
That would have really... Because then at that point, too, you're not able to get into any line to get ahead of the crowds. Like, you're getting done, you're checked in, and you're like, now...
And there were people waiting at the front gate an hour early.
Right.
They waited an hour at the front gate just to get in. Right. And I mean, like... That's a lot.
You know, it makes me sad to say, but the fact that I'm questioning whether or not I'm going to go back to Jollywood Nights should tell you how I felt about the event for sure.
Overall, not pleased, but
yeah, there were some wins. That meatball.
Hey, delicious. Silver lining. Great meatball.
But like, if the fact that one of my wins was literally just a meatball
from Pizza Rizzo.
We've got some work to do for sure.
That's a bad sign.
So I don't know. I think again.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm on the let's see what happens boat of
it's the first year. Adjustments it was the first made. Night. And there's only 10 nights that this thing is going for this season. And so I think this is a pretty good trial run. I honestly it would make me sad to know that it failed and that it doesn't come back.
Yeah, I would like to see negative feedback and they say, okay, let's take that and make it better.
Correct.
Versus...
don't do it
again. Oh, yeah, okay, never mind. Yeah. We're not going to do this. So
I would love for it. And we know people, too, that had a great time last night. They loved their experience and they didn't even get to experience the entire thing. So I think it also, too, and this goes with any...
And it was a lack of information coming in, too. Well, and with, obviously, Very Merry... Very Merry is an established event that people know what they're getting into year to year. People have a plan.
Right.
If they're in an annual Very Merry Christmas goer, they go, well, I like to do this, this, and this. And these are my must-dos because I know what I'm getting. This one was very much put all these people in a situation that are short on time, not a whole lot of experiences, and figure it out. And
that's
some people thrived and some people struggled through it and didn't feel like they got their best value out of it.
Yeah. And that's why we do these episodes. We do these episodes so that we can be the ones who are doing the trial run, give you guys the information, and then go with it. If you already have tickets purchased for Jollywood Nights, please don't be like, what have I done? Pulling Anakin Skywalker. But hopefully this information helps you to have the best experience that you can have. Because again, it's not that everyone left that last night miserable and ticked off. And I wasn't even mad. I was just kind of bummed on the evening.
Yeah.
But I think that there are people who did really enjoy the event.
Yeah.
But I think overwhelmingly, based on what we've seen from reviews so far, is that people had similar experiences to what we did.
I'd say there was a few things that were really good and the rest was just less than mediocre.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that Disney Twitter scene though.
Woo! To stay off Disney Twitter because it's a dangerous place.
Wow. But that's what we think. Hopefully all of you still have your own experiences, formulate your own opinions of it. We don't want to steer anybody away from doing it. Right. We encourage you to try it for yourself.
Yep.
So this was our experience. This was night one. This was the first event they've ever had. It rained at the end and we drove home an hour with wet shoes. So that might contribute to our mood.
Maybe but, so.
And yeah, I think a big thing also was spending an hour at Brown Derby just made it even shorter for us right off the bat.
Yeah. So it eliminated
we might have set ourselves back right off the bat.
I do think we got a little lucky though with the shows, but because I don't know if I think if we didn't do Brown Derby, we would have been waiting longer and stuff because we would have been more like, oh, we have to do this. So I think in a way that wasn't actually the worst
thing. We did not
wait. We had to attempt to like we beat waited the last second people, and we you know we wouldn't have been.
We waited longer at the drink stands than we did to get into the two shows. Main shows.
Yeah. Right.
Which is saying something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
especially when you're somebody who doesn't drink
or food.
Yeah.
Right. So, but yeah, that's what we think.
Go get the meatball. If you're going, go get the meatball. Cause yeah. There was no line. I didn't have to wait. And that was the best thing I had all night.
And the beer margarita. But yeah, that's all we got for this one. Very Merry Christmas will be the next one. Maybe we're going to review. Yeah.
Stay tuned.
So that was Jollywood. Oh, infamous Jollywood. Being very popular.
I can promise like Positive Nick will definitely be back for the Christmas party because dang, that is not my favorite freaking Snoke Main Street. Oh man, I'm so ready. Let's talk about it.
Fun.
Well, that's it. Thanks all everybody.
Right. We will talk to y'all later.
See ya.
Ta-ta for now.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.